It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, so we hope you'll take your seat and become a student. We're studying Old Testament history, and this is about the time when Solomon dedicated the temple. And in looking at this old Sunday school lesson about this, it tells us that there are four things worthy of consideration that present themselves about this temple. One, the necessity of the temple. Two, the preparation for building the temple. Three, building the temple. And four, dedicating the temple. Now, we were looking at this in our last class, and we talked about the necessity of the temple. And today we're going to start with that point, too, the preparation for building the temple. And so we'll get to that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7, Wednesday evening Bible study. Of course, we worship too, but it's a Bible study mostly at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at the preparation for building the temple. David had it in his heart to build this house for God's name. And this desire was pleasing to God, but God did not allow David to build it, because David was a man of war and had shed blood. God promised David that Solomon would build it. David was permitted to gather an abundance of material to constitute largely out of his own private treasury for the house. This would make over $1 billion in gold in our money, and almost $1 billion in silver besides. And then there's the value of the precious stones and brass and iron. God gave David, by the Holy Spirit, the pattern of the temple. It's like he'd given Moses the pattern of the tabernacle on the mountain. Well, David delivered that pattern to Solomon, and David said, "All this have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah, even all the works of this pattern." 1 Corinthians 28:11-19. By this example and instruction, David helped prepare the people for building this house. He'd already removed the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Now, Solomon's reign was one that was characterized by peace and prosperity. In the 480th year after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and in the fourth year of the second month of his reign, he began to build the temple, and he finished it in the 11th year and the 8th month. Hence, he was 7 years and 6 months in building it. The Bible puts it 7 years in full numbers. Solomon was greatly assisted by Hiram, the king of Tyre, whose assistance he paid Hiram in wheat and barley and wine and oil. The cedar sent by Hiram was highly prized and of great reputation then. Now look at the building of the temple. A great many laborers, overseers, and skilled workmen were engaged in building the temple. A levy of 30,000 Israelites was raised to work in Mount Lebanon, 10,000 of them working a month at a time and remaining at home 2 months. There were, besides these, 150,000 laborers who were probably foreign subjects. There was 153,600 of these sojourners, but 3,600 of them were overseers. 3,300 of these overseers were subordinates, it seems. 550 chief overseers, and 250 of this number were Israelites. And besides these, there were King Hiram's workmen who cut and hewed the timbers and cut the stones. King Hiram also sent a most skilled workman named Hiram, the son of a Jewish, an Tyrian. The temple was built on Mount Moriah, overlooking the brook Kidron. The top of the mountain was leveled, and precipitous sides next to the brook Kidron were fenced up with immense stones. The dimensions of the temple proper were twice those of the tabernacle that Moses had built in the wilderness. Before the holy place was a porch 10 cubits long and the width of the temple proper. Around these were the courts, which were enclosed in walls. There's a great description of this fine work done on the temple in 1 Kings chapters 6 and 7. But we need to note this. The temple was not a type of the houses of worship that we worship in today. But it was a type of the church. Now, I know a lot of people confuse the building with the church. But the church itself is the people. The buildings are like the temple, bricks and stones. But this temple didn't represent the meeting houses. It represented the people. Let me explain. This temple had no significance as to present houses of worship. Yet nearly all Sunday school papers draw the conclusion that since this temple was costly and richly ornamented and magnificent, so our houses of worship should be. While houses of worship should be comfortable and well adapted to the purpose for which they are erected, we learn none of this from the temple. Many houses of worship are but little less than monuments of vanity and pride and exhibitions of denominational rivalry. There was one tabernacle, and that gave place to the one temple, which was a type of the one tabernacle, the temple, which the Lord pitched. Hebrews 8 and verse 2. Christians constitute God's house now. Christians, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. And they are God's temple. Christians are also priests, one as much as another. The church is called a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And they're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. God has but one house or temple now. Ephesians 4. This, like the temple and the tabernacle, was built after God's pattern or plan by Jesus. And its organization and order of service and work are divine. It was dedicated by the blood of Christ, Acts 20 and verse 28. It was filled with God's Spirit, Acts 2, 1 through 4. And in it God dwells and God's name is called upon it. A house of worship is only a meeting place for the church. It is only a matter of comfort and convenience. It is no more the house of God than one's dwelling house should be. A courthouse is not the state house. The state house is the courthouse is not the court. A state house is not the state. A schoolhouse is not the school. And a custom house is not the custom. So also a church house is not the church. Anything may be done in a church house that Christians can morally do in any other house, but nothing can be done in the worship of God which he has not made part of that worship. The worship of God is no longer limited to any certain place or places. Jesus explained this to the woman at the well in John 4, 20 through 26. Anywhere and everywhere now, the true worshipers may worship God in spirit and truth, proud temples and stately church edifices, beautifully adorned and magnificently equipped, are no part of God's spiritual service and are not therefore essential to it. Parents and teachers should not fail to impress upon all this difference. Now, we're going to look at the explanatory notes. And so I want to read to you from the text of this lesson, 1 Kings chapter 8. I'll read verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes of the princes of the fathers, houses of the children of Israel unto Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring the ark of the covenant of Jehovah out of the city of David, which is in Zion. Verse 2. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethan, which is the seventh month. This is 1 Kings 8, 3. And all the elders of Israel came together, and the priests took up the ark. Let me read to you from Elam's notes. Now, these are Sunday school notes that he prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 11th, 1927. And in it, Elam writes, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel. This is the same assembly called by David just before he died, and by Solomon soon after he became king. The temple was now completed, and this assembly was to bring the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah out of the city of David, which is Mount Zion. The temple was built on Mount Moriah. Mount Zion was west of Mount Moriah. On these two hills, Jerusalem was built. All the men of Israel, that means three times during the year, all the grown males in Israel had to assemble before the Lord in Jerusalem to keep three annual feasts. One of those feasts, this was the Feast of the Tabernacles, which began on the 15th day of the seventh month. They kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. The people assembled on the 8th day of the seventh month and were dismissed on the 23rd day. The dedicatory services were held before the Feast of the Tabernacles. The priests took up the ark. It was their duty to bear the ark. And as we have seen in our lesson on David removing the ark of Jerusalem, it was the proper way for the ark to be transported. Let me read 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. They, now this is the priest, they brought up the ark of Jehovah in the tent of meeting and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. Even these did the priest and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled unto him, and were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted for the multitude. Now, when it said they brought the ark of Jehovah, that's up from the tent that David had pitched up Mount Zion, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. This was the tabernacle that was at Gibeon. The Levites brought these. This was the duty of the Levites. The temple took the place of the tabernacle, and they did not both stand at the same time. David sacrificed before the ark every 6 paces. Solomon and the congregation sacrificed before it sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. This was done before the ark reached its destination, and was done in praise and gratitude to God. Then we read that the priest brought the ark of the covenant of Jehovah into its place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. Now we're going to continue looking at this time when Solomon dedicates the temple when we return in our next lesson. So be ready.